Ed Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
When you see photographs of Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin at conferences at Yalta and other places, you have to be mindful of the fact these were not happy campers together. Churchill in particular didn't trust Stalin. Roosevelt trusted him a little too much, I think, in retrospect, but shouldn't have trusted him at all.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That was Dr. Bill McClay, Victor Davis Hanson Chair in Classical History and Western Civilization at Hillsdale College, and also author of Land of Hope, An Invitation to the Great American Story. We go in-depth with Dr. McClay today on the Cold War chapter inside Land of Hope. Dr. McClay, thanks for joining us.
Scott, it's a pleasure.
Taking this opportunity to look inside Land of Hope at specific chapters, this time all thoughts and things were split, the Cold War. Now, the beginning of the Cold War period probably can't be appreciated without understanding the prosperity wrought by the Second World War. What about that economic outlook for Americans following the war, and how did it shape the coming decade?
Yeah, that's if I could take a moment and also explain the title, mm-hmm. All Thoughts and Things Were Split, it comes from a marvelous essay that James Agee, and he wrote an article in reaction to the use of the atomic bomb to end the war. And I'd like that as a title for the chapter because it captures the ambivalence of the time. There is, as in your question, enormous prosperity. The economy comes roaring back after the Depression and the war years. And the war years actually begin the roaring back of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Because the United States industrial capacity just absolutely bulldozes the enemies in the Axis powers. But there's also a downside. There's a tremendous sense of anxiety about what the atomic bomb, this weapon, many orders of magnitude more powerful than anything the world had ever seen. Yes. And people welcomed it, especially those who were scheduled to go to the Pacific Theater and participate in an invasion of Japan, which deaths on the scale, just unimaginable scale, were being predicted for an invasion like that. And I think those predictions were quite credible, by the way. So the prospect of being relieved of that was a great thing, but the prospect of this introduction of this demonic, potentially new weapon did trouble many people. And some of them were, you know, Russell Kirk, the great conservative. So there's all this to celebrate. And yet there is the bomb and there is the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
The Cold War, there's no breathing space between the end of the Second World War. I mean, the Cold War has already begun in the way that the Second World War ends.
And then, Dr. McClay, that prosperity you allude to caused by the war, how did it help shape that coming decade?
There's some really good recent scholarship on this that Roosevelt had to, you know, he was very much the like his namesake, Teddy, opposed to the malefactors of great wealth, his own great wealth notwithstanding, and sought to curb industry's rapacity in various ways. But he had to come back to the big corporations to do the rebuilding of the American military and supplying for the rest of the world, the aircraft, munitions, et cetera. So Arthur Herman has a book about this, among others, that, about how once the brakes were taken off the economy that Roosevelt had applied, this productivity was on an enormous scale, just absolutely obliterated the opposition. There's no, in modern war, there's simply no leaving out the factor of economic health and well-being and productivity. Lots of Americans who would have been in the working class, auto workers, for example, found themselves solidly middle class. There's a growth of suburban housing. The whole suburbanization of America, which had already been ongoing, takes on greater velocity in the post-war era. There's a tremendous explosion, including an explosion of population growth, the so-called baby boom, of which I was a part toward the tail end of it.
That's a phrase our audience likely is somewhat familiar with, Dr. McClay. Baby boom, what was happening around this time? Why did people feel comfortable enough to expand their families?
The families that had been either foregoing having children or waiting till things got better through the economic hard times of depression and war, or who had been holding back on spending for the same reasons, let fly. So you have large families, you have just institutions that are bursting at the seams. You have soldiers returning from the war, servicemen and women who, through the GI Bill, are going to college, and colleges can't accommodate all the people coming in. Well into the 70s, you still have colleges and universities building, trying to deal with this unaccustomed inrush of students. There's this struggle with the Soviet Union, and it's a very existential struggle. Both sides possessing nuclear weapons, and exactly how to deal with a conflict like that is a kind of unprecedented problem.
This conflict with the Soviet Union, tell us about the United States' strategy of containment in response to the Soviet Union's expansive tendencies at this time.
Well, the Soviet Union was expansionist in its character, and the way that the Second World War ended was with conflict between the United States, the Allies, and the other Allies, and the Soviets over who would occupy what parts of Germany, under what terms, and all of this ended up leading to a division of Europe that lasted until, you know, the 1990s. The end of the Soviet Union comes in the early 1990s, but it lasted a long time from 1945 on. And that actually goes back a ways, because one thing a lot of Americans don't know, and they really should know, is that Hitler and Stalin were aligned to one another. Stalin's Russia, the Soviet Union, participated in the invasion of Poland in 1939. It was only because of Hitler's, in retrospect, insane decision to invade Russia and betray his erstwhile ally, that the alliance of the United States and the Soviet Union and Great Britain and France occurred. It was only because of that. So when you see photographs of Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin at conferences in Yalta and other places, you have to be mindful of the fact these were not happy campers together. And Churchill in particular didn't trust Stalin. Roosevelt trusted him a little too much, I think, in retrospect, but shouldn't have trusted him at all. So the Soviets already had a history of being devious in their dealings with the West. So the issue was how to oppose the Soviet Union's expansionist tendencies, because communism is, by its nature, an evangelical faith. It seeks to unite the workers of the world, not by country. And although Stalin was very much of a nationalist and tapping into deep Russian nationalism, the ideology itself called for expansion everywhere possible. And in Europe, in the wake of the war, much of Europe was devastated. This is why the Marshall Plan aiding these countries that were in desperate straits was so important, and not just as a humanitarian gesture, but an anti-communist one, an anti-Soviet. Soviet expansionism was a real problem.
We will return in a moment more with Dr. Bill McClay on his book Land of Hope, specifically on the Cold War. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number, and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday Mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Winter anxiety or stress got you down? Got a cough that just won't stop? On your second round of antibiotics? Or lost your taste and smell? Experience the ultimate in relaxation and wellness at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave in downtown Reading. We feature our salt cave that feels like the beach, our 10-minute knockout sessions, and our infrared saunas where you can burn 300 to 600 calories. You can breathe easier, clear sinuses, reduce pain, inflammation, and boost your immune system. It's perfect for kids, pregnant moms, and the whole family. And yes, we accept pets. Call us today at 530-338-2094. Visit the gift shop at 1506 Market Street. We are here to help. Call us at 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094. Experience the ultimate in relaxation and wellness at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave in downtown Reading. Call us today at 530-338-2094.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works.
You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We've been talking with Dr. Bill McClay, author of Land of Hope, An Invitation to the Great American Story, and talking in depth on his chapter on the Cold War. Dr. McClay, on the topic of the Soviet expansion, the possibility of Soviet expansion being a real problem, what to do about this? What were the options available?
Nobody, well, I wouldn't say nobody, but very few people, other than Douglas MacArthur, wanted to go back to war. But the Soviets had to be resisted. So what to do? And the doctrine that the Truman administration ended up adopting and based it on some writings of a Foreign Service officer named George Kennan was the idea of containment. That because Russians, and so many, this is true of many tyrannical forms of government, that they need to have foreign adventures, they need to have foreign enemies, they need to have a perceived enemy in order to allow those in power to hold power.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes an enemy will be invented for the sake of allowing those in power to hold power. So if the Russian desire to expand, which was part of the basis of the continuity of the regime, if that could be thwarted, not so much to roll back the places in Eastern Europe, in Poland, in Czechoslovakia, in Hungary, other places where the Soviets had set up puppet governments that they were actually controlling. Not so much to roll back Soviet influence there, but to prevent it from expanding any further, to stop it in its tracks. That was the idea of containment, that this would lead in the fullness of time to internal instability in the regime, because the expectation of expansion having been thwarted, one of the key elements holding the regime together would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the end, it worked.
America's role in the world expands during the post-war period. Was that inevitable? Was there any other way to counter Soviet expansion and the Soviet Union without America becoming what it became?
Your question is a very good one and a very important one. Are the policies we pursued, not every detail, was it absolutely necessary for the United States to step into the breach? I would say yes. I think this is one of these very profound questions that you can't answer with certitude. You know, was the world better off for the existence of the Roman Empire? I say yes, but who knows? How do you game out the alternative? But there was no other power in the world that could stand for liberty, for free institutions, for capitalism, for prosperity, other than the United States at that time. So in ways that, for example, you think of the various efforts that the Soviets made to capture West Germany, capture West Berlin. A perfect example of the containment strategy was the airlift, that West Berlin was this island of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's so poignant to look back at that time. It's this island of freedom in the midst of East Germany, West Germany far away, and so West Berlin became the front line. Truman flew supplies, used the airlift to supply the West Berlin so that they couldn't starve it into submission by cutting off all the ground transportation. And eventually the Soviets relented. But that was a great example of containment at work. You didn't fight force with force. You sort of did an end run around it.
Mm-hmm.
West Berlin was not only an island, it was a walled-off island. A wall was built not to keep people in, but to keep people – it wasn't not to keep people out, but to keep people in. It was to keep the East Berliners from escaping to the West, to the freedom of the West. And it was an admission of failure. It was what do they call it in soccer when you score a goal?
An own goal.
An own goal. Yeah, an own goal. It was an own goal for the Soviets. So I think Kennan in the end, George Kennan, the guy who developed the doctrine, didn't particularly approve of the way it was actually used, but that's the way theorists are.
But I
think all the way through the Reagan administration, you had, I think, an application of a version of containment rather than risk an all-out nuclear confrontation with the Soviet Union, which would have been a disaster for all humankind.
Talking with Dr. Bill McClay about his book, Land of Hope, and the All Thoughts and Things Were Split, Cold War chapter. As we conclude, I want to ask a question about the Eisenhower administration. In your book, you say if there's a single word that would encompass what the Eisenhower administration excelled in accomplishing, that word might be consolidation. Tell us more about that.
The New Deal did a lot to transform American politics. And there are those of us who think even now that some of it was ill-considered. Without going into all sorts of details, the New Deal changed American politics. Some of Wilson's constitutional amendments, for example, the direct election of senators, it was a huge change in the constitutional framework. So you have a lot of people, particularly in the Republican Party, just chomping at the bit after being out of office since 1932 to roll back some of the New Deal innovations. And Eisenhower, you know, another word to describe him would be moderation. Eisenhower didn't do that. And in the end, I think what he succeeded in doing is with consolidating that the New Deal. That is sort of incorporating the elements of it that seemed to be working, that seemed to meet with the approval of the American people, and sort of marking a terminus of reforms, that we're going to work with the reforms that we have. We're not going to try, as Roosevelt wanted to do, to extend the welfare state into health care, which, of course, since that time, has been one of the chief goals of the Democratic Party to do just that. And Eisenhower, if he did nothing else, and of course he did a lot, he was really a much greater president than he gets credit for being, you know, dealing with all sorts of international crises coming out of the post-colonial era. At the end of the Second World War, he would deserve to be venerated for his farewell speech, in which he warned against, and blended in, predicted many of the problems that beset us today. The other, not often noticed, but should be now, is the prospect that science would become imprisoned by federal funding. He doesn't put it in these words, but it's very clear immediately after the military-industrial complex statement, he says this. And the politicization of science is something that we are definitely dealing with or troubled by. But this farewell address laid this out. It's a rather beautiful speech. You know, there's this notion of the 50s as happy days,
right?
You know. Not at all. There's just a tremendous amount of turbulence in the world, at home. Civil rights movement is just getting rolling, as with more to come.
Dr. Bill McClay, Victor Davis Hanson Chair in Classical History and Western Civilization at Hillsdale College, author of the book Land of Hope, An Invitation to the Great American Story. We've been talking about the All Thoughts and Things Were Split, the Cold War chapter from that book. Dr. McClay, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Scott, it is always a pleasure.
Up next, Scott Walter is with us. His new book, Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights, don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Join Tokens Radio Show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Tokens Radio Show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertrand. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at podcast.hillsdale.edu for older episodes of this program, plus other great Hillsdale College audio. We're joined by Scott Walter. He is president of Capital Research Center and author of the new book, Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you.
Arabella, the name itself sounds like a suspense thriller, and in part that's what the book is, I suppose. But explain to our audience about that title, Arabella. What is it?
Arabella refers to Arabella Advisors, which is a for-profit company in D.C., what we call a Beltway Bandit, you know, consulting political firm. And the way to understand it is think of a pyramid. And at the top of the pyramid, you have Arabella Advisors, a for-profit, which controls everything below. In the middle of the pyramid, you have half a dozen nonprofits of different legal types. And that's where the money goes. That is, say, you write, if you're a lefty billionaire, you write your check to one of those nonprofits. And then the base of the pyramid is what the ordinary American sees. That's hundreds upon hundreds of fake groups, right? Secure Michigan elections, Floridians for a fair shake, that kind of thing. They look like they are, they look like they're grassroots nonprofits, but what they really are is just a website in a D.C. office.
So I assume there are reasons, probably campaign finance related, about why it has to work this way, why there are these sort of mid-level go-betweens where the money has to flow. Why are things set up this way?
Well, it does two things. First, it helps to cloak the money, right? Because you can see that Soros's Open Society Foundation, just to take one example, you can see that it gave money to a nonprofit in this empire, but you don't know where that money came out, right? You don't know what the, down at the base of the pyramid, which of those hundreds of groups was that money going toward. That's one value. The other value is it's actually a bit of a pain in the neck to set up a new nonprofit to do some particular thing, right? You have to incorporate in Delaware or some such place and get board members and have lawyers do filings. Then if you want to be a charity, 501c3, you have to ask the IRS to recognize you as a charity, and that takes months or even a year more. And all that is completely vanishes when you show up at Arabella. You tell them, I want to do this, and they say, we're going to give you this afternoon a new nonprofit, and it'll just be a project under one of our existing nonprofits, so you automatically get the tax deductible status. You don't have to have board members. You don't have to file your own independent tax returns for that nonprofit. Makes it enormously easier and harder to see or understand for the outside world.
Scott Walter is with us. The new book, Arabella, the Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. You mentioned Soros, a name that many of our listeners will be familiar with. Who are some of these other leftist billionaires involved in the funding of Arabella and this network?
Well, thanks for the excellent question, because Soros is as bad as you think. However, it's critical to understand the left has a lot of Soroses. So another person is Mark Zuckerberg, who sends tens of millions of dollars to Arabella, mostly for criminal justice, quote-unquote, reform, like Soros's bad prosecutors reform. Another is Bill Gates. He's one of the very largest of them and does basically sort of advocacy for a lot of his healthcare policies. But another one that's a very important one and probably nobody's heard of, Hans-Jürg Wyss. He is a Swiss billionaire. He is not a U.S. citizen, so it's illegal for him to be messing in our politics. And yet he gives hundreds of millions of dollars over the years to Arabella, which, of course, is completely enmeshed in U.S. politics.
Scott Walter is with us. Arabella is his new book, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. A number of these chapters in Arabella are case studies of different ways these funds and these organizations have intervened in American politics. Where has Arabella and its funders seen its greatest success?
Gosh, that is, that's hard to say, because, you know, the answer to every question with Arabella in it is everything, right? They're active in pretty much every issue area. Here's one that, again, probably most Americans had no idea about. There's Warren Buffett, right, who seems like sort of a centrist and not very political and the rest. Well, he has sent tens of millions of dollars through Arabella almost entirely to fight on abortion. He's actually the biggest funder of abortion advocacy in America. And so I certainly would say that that has had considerable success in many ways around the country. Another thing that's amazing, and in this case, this was all Soros money, is a little something called Governing for Impact. And what that was is 2 years before the Biden administration was even sworn in, you had secretly Soros money going to some folks at Harvard Law, connected to Harvard Law School, to have Harvard Law level legal strategy memos get written up for the very complicated legal process of trying to reverse all kinds of regulations that the Trump administration had enacted.
At the end of the book, there's a section about potential ways to address Arabella. Can the problem be solved? You explain perhaps a way through education and perhaps a way through legislation. What do those options look like?
Part of the thing to understand about Arabella is it sounds scary because it has these billions of dollars and hundreds of groups and all. But the thing is, they operate like the Wizard of Oz. Now, the Wizard of Oz was very scary when first encountered. Great, big, huge, booming, scary-looking guy, right? But the only problem was, at the end of the movie, you remember the little dog goes and pulls the curtain back, and you see, well, it's not some huge, big wizard. Mm-hmm. It's just some old guy at a microphone. So when you pull the curtain back, like we're trying to do, and with your help, we're doing it more broadly, when you pull that curtain back, it makes them far less scary. So education is a really crucial part of it. So, for instance, the case of the 501c4 political nonprofit taking money from donors who are not supposed to be at all involved in politics and giving it to super PACs, well, guess what? There's a bill in Congress that's been proposed that would tell one of those political nonprofits, if you take money from foreigners, then for the next several years, you're not allowed to give money to a super PAC because you just can't trust what's really happening internally there with the money. So that's one of the good example of legislation that would make some help on all this.
Is there an entity on the right that can match the influence and power that Arabella has exercised? And should we want them to, even if they could?
Well, that's a very tricky question on the last one there. There certainly is nobody who has this much money by any means, period. Not on the left, not on the right. The next thing to say is that there are a few things on the conservative side that have tried to make use of some of these kinds of legal organizational tricks. And, you know, to the extent that things are legal, I think that it's not crazy to say that you have to, you know, often, you know, match your enemy. So I don't think it's bad in general. I will certainly say I don't think forced donor disclosure, which is what some people think of when they hear about things like this, mm-hmm. I don't think that's a good idea at all, not only because it would violate the Constitution. You have a right to anonymous speech. We wouldn't have the Federalist Papers without it. But also because, you know, the left has more mobs. And so if you're going to expose people like that, there's going to be more harm done to the conservative side always.
Scott Walter is the author of the brand new book, Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. You can also find his work at the Capital Research Center, where he serves as president. Scott, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Go Hillsdale.
Up next, Jordan Hintz joins us. He's head coach of the Hillsdale College Shotgun Sports Teams, recent national champions. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike? Why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
Winter anxiety or stress got you down? Got a cough that just won't stop? On your second round of antibiotics? Or lost your taste and smell? Experience the ultimate in relaxation and wellness at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave in downtown Reading. We feature our salt cave that feels like the beach, our 10-minute knockout sessions, and our infrared saunas where you can burn 300 to 600 calories. You can breathe easier, clear sinuses, reduce pain, inflammation, and boost your immune system. It's perfect for kids, pregnant moms, and the whole family. And yes, we accept pets. Call us today at 530-338-2094. Visit the gift shop at 1506 Market Street. We are here to help. Call us at 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094. Experience the ultimate in relaxation and wellness at Capturing the Essence Soul Cave in downtown Reading. Call us today at 530-338-2094.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Find the show on X at Hillsdale Radio for updated show and guest information. We're joined by Jordan Hintz. He is head coach of the Hillsdale College Shotgun Sports Team. Jordan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You were a member of Hillsdale's Shotgun Team when you were a student at the college. Now the team's head coach. How would you describe the differences in the program between then and now?
The team has changed quite a bit. The year after I graduated, we didn't have very much for incoming talent, so the size of the program shrunk dramatically. Since taking over as the coach, I've grown it back and then expanded it beyond that. So just personnel-wise, it's so much bigger, which makes it such a different atmosphere. But even a lot of the culture that you think when you're a member of the team, that stuff's going to just continue forever. When the team shrinks half the size, you lose a lot of that. So, but it's developed in a very, very good, natural way to be something different, but something still very, very good.
Yeah, and some success, which we'll talk about here in a moment. What types of shooting or what events are encompassed inside the shotgun program? Because there's action shooting, there's other parts of the Hillsdale shooting program. So what's encompassed with the shotgun sports team, and how many students now are on that team?
Yeah, so we are shooting exclusively shotgun, as the team's name would suggest. We're shooting clay target sports specifically, so trap, skeet, sporting, and variations on those disciplines. So in intercollegiate competition, we're also shooting doubles trap, skeet doubles, a variety of sporting disciplines depending on where we're shooting. And then we also have athletes that compete in the Olympic disciplines, so international trap or bunker and international skeet. About half the team actively competes in that, including several current members of the USA shooting team. Our roster this year sits at 16, and next year it's looking like we'll probably be at 17, possibly 18.
How do the skills needed to succeed in those events change from event to event?
There's not a lot of differences. The games themselves lend to certain skill sets, one more than the other. Mm-hmm. So in skeet, it's very regimented. You know exactly where you're going to be standing. You know exactly what those targets are going to be doing every single time, everywhere across the country. It's going to be exactly the same. Trap is similar. The difference being there is an element of randomness where you don't know the angle of the target that you're going to get. So there's a little quirk there. And then sporting clays, everywhere that you go, the presentations that you see are going to vary drastically. So there's not one surefire way to practice every single thing you could possibly see. But for the most part, the fundamentals of shooting a shotgun are basically the same across all the disciplines. It's just a little bit of mindset. It's a little bit of, I don't want to say memorization, but sometimes it comes down to that and muscle memory.
Talking with Jordan Hintz, he's head coach of the Hillsdale College shotgun sports team. As we mentioned, some congratulations are in order. The team recently earned its first ever Division II national championship title. If I'm not mistaken, not the first title, some Division III previously. So what about this jump up to Division II, and how did you and the team manage to achieve this goal?
Yeah, correct. So we have actually won 7 Division III national championships. We won one in 2012, then each year 2014 through 2018, and then again in 2021. The jump into Division II is really just based off of roster size. Mm-hmm. So Division III is for programs that are actively competing with 10 or less shooters. To move into Division II requires 11 to 20, but just by the nature of the way the scoring works, your larger programs have a better chance to put up better scores.
Sure.
So we had been building over the course of the last couple of years when we decided to push into Division II. Getting up into 16 last year, we really felt like we had a really good shot at it. That's the point where your program is, I would say, a decent size to be competitive. Not that you can't with smaller, but it's more difficult. And we knew we were going to have a really, really good program, and we knew what the competition looked like. It's still kind of unreal to actually do it.
Uh-huh.
Division II is, I would say, by far the most competitive division in shotgun sports. They're the most teams with the most resources, I would say, in that area. So it's really incredible.
And what about some individual honors for our student athletes? You've mentioned some are also part of USA Shooting too.
Yes. So we have 4 athletes that are on the USA Shooting Junior team. They're actually actively competing internationally. In not too long, I believe June, they're traveling to Italy to compete in a Junior World Cup. And then in later September, October timeframe, they're going to be in Peru for the Junior World Championships. So that's incredible. The success that we've seen, certainly with Hillsdale's partnership with USA Shooting and bringing some of those events out here, attract some of that talent. We have incredible resources, coaching-wise, shooting-wise, for them to be able to continue getting better. Besides that, like at our college nationals, mm-hmm. 11 of our 16 athletes were actually named All-Americans. So finishing in the top, basically the top 10% of athletes at the shoot is how it ended up breaking down. And we actually had 8 individual national champions, 7 of which were Madeline, one of our freshman women. So an unbelievable list of accolades from that shoot.
Yeah. Jordan Hintz with us, head coach Hillsdale College shotgun sports team. Training and shooting takes place at the Halter Shooting Sports Education Center. And even if you've been to campus, you might not have seen it because it's located just off campus, a couple of miles away. Tell us about Halter. What does it offer our student athletes, and who else uses and trains at that facility?
So Halter is about 5 miles from campus, so it's really pretty close, and it is certainly unlike anything that any other college has. It's 113 acres, not just shotgun. There's also archery and rifle pistol facilities, but we have basically everything that we could ever need to train there. We have a number of trap fields, a number of skeet fields. We have 5 bunkers. We have a sporting clays course. We have a 5-stand, which has just recently been enclosed so we can shoot indoors heated in the winter. And we are basically given free rein of the facility. So to be able to utilize it during our practices to train the way that we need to be the most successful. It is also open to the public. Mm-hmm. So we've got leagues, we've got open shooting, lots of people from the area, and even further away, driving possibly several hours to come and shoot here. To the student body, we also offer classes and discounted shooting specifically for them. So teach class 4 college credit for students at Hillsdale.
You told us earlier about growing the program to the size now, 16 student athletes, 17 perhaps next year. What do you look for in a recruit for the program? What's the profile of a student athlete coming to Hillsdale who might shoot in the shotgun program?
So we are an educational institution first and foremost. So the absolute most important thing is that they have the grades to be successful at Hillsdale, and also that we offer a degree that they're interested in. I'm not interested in bringing somebody in on to the team where Hillsdale is not the place where they belong, somewhere that they won't be able to be successful academically, or a place that doesn't offer the correct path to the career that they would like to do. So making sure that those align is the number one priority. Shooting ability certainly is a large factor. We are recruiting just like a football team or a basketball team does. We're looking for athletes of a particular skill and experience level. So not just anyone can be on our program, but then also making sure that they're a good fit for the culture, making sure that you think they get along with the rest of the team and somebody that I would want to have around for 4 years.
And Jordan, if people want more information about the Hillsdale Shotgun Sports Team, the shooting program, or about the Halter Shooting Sports Education Center, where can they go?
As a varsity athletics program at Hillsdale, you can find information about our team at hillsdalechargers.com. We have a tab just like any other team. And for information about the Halter Center, shootingsports.hillsdale.edu is the website for the range, and that has all the information about when we're open for shooting and staff and other details.
Shootingsports.hillsdale.edu is that address. Jordan Hintz, head coach, Hillsdale College Shotgun Sports Team. Jordan, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Bill McClay from Hillsdale College, Scott Walter, his new book is Arabella, and Jordan Hintz, the head coach of the Hillsdale Shotgun Team. The Radio Free Hillsdale Hour is recorded at the studios of WRFH, the student-run radio station at Hillsdale College. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike? Why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is
Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.